Okay, turn with me to Hebrews 6 for a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, 9 and 10. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not righteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now through this passage, this change of statement in contrast to the stern warning about those who turn back from the truth, who apostatize, and that contrast to those who bear thorns and briars and whose end is to be burned. Here we have, basically, the Apostle Paul is now looking at this group of people, these Jewish Christians, and making a statement concerning their spiritual state. And despite the situation, this is what he says of them. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And we find here, now he says we are persuaded of better things. Now that's an interesting way of putting it, because the contrast in the book is that obviously Christ is greater than angels. He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than Moses. He is greater than the priesthood of Aaron. He uses that word better, a better sacrifice, etc. So he's persuaded of better things, of their faith in Christ, and that they will come through this time of trial, that they're going to come through this questioning, this movement, you might say, that they have, and that they are going to come through that, and he will see in them things that accompany salvation. You know, it's interesting. In life, there's a lot of wind. The Bible talks about the winds of life. Be not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, there's a lot of winds. And we call it that which is popular. We call that which is, a movement in religious things. There's a lot of winds out there. And the older you get, the more times you see the winds blowing. And I think you've heard me say, you know, our time here in Maquonago, there's a lot of winds. You know, there was the time in which, everybody was going to Elmbrook. Then there was time everybody was going to Waukesha Bible Church. Then there was a time everybody was going to it was Pilgrim Baptist. And now, you know, the big wind is Brook Life. You know, there's a lot of winds. And people go with the wind. And during this time, the Apostle Paul, the wind was blowing. Might say the wind was blowing in that, the great movement of Judaism towards Christ was dying down. And you know, the first couple decades after the death of Christ, you know, the churches were full of converted Jews. In fact, until the Apostle Paul comes on the scene, Cornelius, you know, about somewhere 8 to 10 years after the resurrection, the first Gentile convert, so to speak. And then you have the Apostle Paul, you have the missionary journey, you have the church at Antioch, and you begin to see this tide is changing from this whole mass of Jews accepting Christ. You know, some would say that the church at Jerusalem, there's estimates between, anywhere from 10 to 60,000 people. And I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. But, you know, you have 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and you have 5,000 later. Well, that's quite a few right away. And then it says they multiplied. They didn't add. They multiplied later. So we're talking about a huge movement towards Christianity. But now, about 20 years later, you know what? The wind is dying down. And guess what? The wind is starting not only to die down, but the wind starts blowing in the opposite direction. And yes, there was Jewish persecution from the beginning. But you would kind of say that the real climax has to be about AD 70. It's past the climax, way past the climax. Probably the climax is the missionary journeys and the Apostle Paul at Antioch of Pisidia and proclaiming that you're saved by faith and faith alone, and you begin to see a real rejection of the gospel by the Jewish people. Now the wind is moving the other way. At first there's this whoosh, big wind of many, many Jews becoming Christians and being baptized, being members of the church. And that wind is dying down, you know, and now there's a wind coming from the other direction. And you know, people are conscious of the wind. Do you know that? People are really conscious of the wind. And they can see the wind. You know, it can even be a little tiny wind. You know, there can be a little wind, you know, in the church. You know, it could be a little wind in the youth group. You know, yeah, this is what everybody's doing. You know, boy, that's what I got to do. You know, and people follow the wind. But in contrast to that, and he's warning them the danger of that. Really. He's warning them the danger of that and what that wind was really meant. But he says, I'm persuaded better things of you. I'm persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany, and the word accompany is the word joined to. The things that are joined to salvation. That's a great phrase, isn't it? What are some of the things that are joined to salvation? We'll take a couple moments to think about that. Well, the Bible tells us the just man falleth 7 times and he getteth up. What are some of the things that accompany salvation? We think of that phrase there in Matthew, in the in Matthew 13. He tells us of the different soils, and then he tells us of the soil, of the good soil, and bears some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Well, things that accompany salvation. Here it says it speaks of that, the fruit that the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Yes, they're passing away, and all things have become new. All things are becoming new. There's a new life. There is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 John 3. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, clearly visible, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Well, we find there's things that accompany salvation. In this case, righteousness. In this case, loving your brother. You know, sometimes that's kind of hard to figure out. But, you know, I think it's kind of simple. Is, you know, when you get saved, you want to be around God's people. Do you know that? Those are the people you want to be around. You know, when someone doesn't want to be around God's people, there's something wrong. Someone that claims to be saved and they don't want to be around God's people, they feel a kinship with lost people, and they don't feel kinship with saved people. What does that tell you? They aren't kin, right? You know, there's things that accompany salvation. This salvation, this so great salvation. You know what? It's bigger than us. This salvation is bigger than us. You know, a simplistic way of putting it, you know, the Bible says, but as many as receive him. You know, that's man's part. To them gave he power, the authority to become the sons of God. That's adoption and all the rights thereof, which were born, not of flesh, nor of man, nor of blood, but of God. Oh, there's a physical birth. There's a spiritual birth. You know what? That's bigger than you and I. You know, you and I, what do? Well, yeah, we accept Christ. But, you know, the other half of the formula is a lot bigger than that. Being born into the family of God. A spiritual birth. Wow. And so, the apostle here is looking at this situation, and despite the situation that is taking place, despite the fact that there are some who are probably going to turn back to Judaism, and maybe we don't know who that is, but as he looks at this audience of Jewish people who claim to know Christ, he's saying, you know, I'm persuaded that you are not going to go backwards. You're not going to fall away. I'm persuaded that you are going to go forward. that you are going to do those things that accompany salvation. Why? Because you are saved. And then he says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now notice the identification of these Hebrew Christians. Who had they identified with? They had identified with the saints. They had ministered to the saints. They had, and they were ministering to the saints. And this is in contrast to the unsaved religious Jews. Didn't say they were ministering to just professed Christians. It says they were ministering to the saints. So we get a pretty good insight that despite all the warnings of Hebrews and these two different crowds, the we and they, and the warnings that actually the people that he was speaking of, he considered the vast majority of them to be truly have been born again and that they weren't going to turn back. They weren't going to fall back unto perdition. They were going to go forward by faith. They were going to they were going to give diligence and diligence to enter into that rest. And so we find some great encouraging words of identification of these people and what God does when a person is truly knows Christ as Savior. And it again points out that, you know, there is a divine and human, really the word cooperation isn't really a good word, but there is a divine and human working. And in a sense, it's mysterious. Certainly, it is invisible, but it is real. And that God is working in his people, and God's working in his people, there will be a choosing on their part to follow Christ. There will be a decision not to turn back. There will be a decision to go forward. There will be a decision of faith. And certainly those are the things that characterize, you know, a child of God. And as we think about these things, you know, maybe God is calling you to go forward by faith. So you think of these things, maybe the Lord is telling you, you know, the wind is blowing. Don't go with the wind. Don't go with the wind. Follow the Lord. Follow truth. Follow righteousness. Follow the path of God. You know, I don't really see much, too much of a wind blowing in our church right now. But you know, there's times when winds blow, you know, when the wind starts blowing, people start following the wind, don't they? Well, that's not a good sign for people to follow the wind, to follow just the movements of people. People of God are by faith. To count the cost and do what is right. And those are the things that accompany this so great salvation that we have. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that we are reminded that we have been apprehended of Christ. And we thank you that the salvation there is in Christ is bigger than and greater than and better than the winds of unbelief and the winds of taking the easy road and all of these things. And I pray that even tonight we would be encouraged to the greatness of your goodness to us. And that we would be encouraged, Lord, to be reminded it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And even as our heads are bowed and eyes closed, even tonight, to perhaps the Lord is working in your heart. As you consider your own soul, of this so great salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Yes, there are some who profess and will follow the wind. But in Christ, there is strength and stability and endurance and eternity. And perhaps the Lord is speaking to you tonight about your soul. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not really saved. You need to become honest with yourself about your soul. Perhaps you're here tonight and the Lord is speaking to you about living that life that accompanies salvation. And there's a specific decision you need to make in your life tonight. Right there in that pew, you ought to do it. You ought to turn from going your own way, turn from going backwards, turn from going the easy way, turn from being lukewarm, and turn specifically and in repentance to following Christ wholeheartedly. And Lord, may it be so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.